Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join our conversation tonight, please call 929-477-2789. Press the 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. Click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of UBIN. Our topic for tonight is, what's in the news, African family? Preparedness lifestyle. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good, and I'm so thankful to be on the air once again with you, Sister Q, and with the family by telephone and by internet radio.
It's good to have you here again. So what is in the news that you've come across in the past month that you would like to share with the family?
Yeah. There's always ongoing news, current news and news from yesterday and news about our thinking, which is a major one that we have to focus a lot of, we must focus a lot of attention on, because one of the reasons that we haven't had massive success is in terms of being in control of our destiny and in control of our lives is because of how we have been mistaught, and we've got the wrong programming in our head, and we got to think much differently. And I'd like I'd like to start off with a piece by ancestor brother Muhammad Ali. He said, when you saw me in the boxing ring fighting, it wasn't just so I could beat my opponent. My fighting had a purpose. I had to be successful in order to get people to listen to the things I had to say. I was fighting to win the world heavyweight title so I could go out in the streets and speak my mind. I wanted to go to the people where unemployment, drugs, and poverty were part of everyday life. I wanted to be a champion who was accessible to everyone, by others to take control of their lives and live with pride and self-determination. I thought perhaps if they saw that I was living my life that way, the way I chose to live it, without fear and with determination, they might dare to take the risk that could set them free. Once again, the words of brother ancestor Muhammad Ali. He was fighting, had a purpose.
Yeah, a lot of people now feel that people in the entertainment arena, like sports personalities, TV and movie personalities, should not address political, you know, political things that's going on. They should just be one-dimensional. Just, you know, just play your role in the movie and go somewhere and sit down and shut up. So that's interesting to hear him say that he put himself in a position where he could be listened to using his voice.
And when more people get the message from Muhammad Ali and others that thought like him, more people will get it that they too can represent themselves and on a higher level, which is what we must be about all the time. We always got to, we are in front of the world every day, and every day we got an opportunity to represent us well, or either represent us very poorly. And the more that you have a conscious, a cultural conscious, you tend to represent your people much better.
For sure.
And the next thing I'd like to read, just this is food for thought, and thoughts help shape our ways of living. And if there's limited thoughts, it's kind of like the minister, Ray Hagen said before he starts some of his messages, he says in so many words, and I'm not getting it exactly right, I'm paraphrasing, but whatever is in the circle, in the circumference of your mind, before I begin to speak, that's the limit of what you've got to work with in terms of whatever's being spoken. And if I have in my circle, circumference of my mind, very little concerning math and engineering and things like that, if you start talking about building a spaceship to take us back home to Mars or somewhere, we have no idea what I was talking about. We have to introduce our people to it. And so one thing I want to, what I want to read right now is asking for reparations but getting a national holiday. So it's saying that we've been asking for reparations, but we got a national holiday. And getting a national holiday is equivalent to asking for a raise, but instead getting a pizza party.
Okay. Yeah.
So instead of a raise, you get a pizza party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that folks need to, you know, let it take a stroll through their minds. It's a very, very heavy message right there.
You know what? I'm thinking about that. If you get a pizza party, at least you might get a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
But with this holiday, we don't really get anything. I mean, it's nothing really to benefit us. What you might do is go shopping, which means you will spend more money. So you'll have having even less.
Yes, and in most cases, when it comes to our people, if they did go shopping on a day like that or during that weekend, who would they be helping, us or others?
Others.
Almost always others.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to change our mindset. It's like Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And next piece I want to read is cultural conquest leads to the cultural authenticity of those who are invaded, and the invaded begin to respond to the values, standards, and goals of the invaders. Once again, with a cultural conquest, the invaded begin to respond to the values, standards, and goals of the invaders. Cultural invasion is, on the one hand, an instrument of domination, and on the other, the result of domination. Homes and schools, nurseries and universities exist not in the abstract, but in time and space. Within these structures of domination, they function largely as agencies that prepare the invaders of the future. So the last words were saying, prepare the invaders of the future. And I'm looking at a picture of where this was posted on Barbara Baruti's Facebook page, July the 27th, and it shows quite a number of 8, 9, 10 European males, probably teenagers, all in black suits with white shirts, and most of them carrying some kind of books. And the last line, the last few words that I read, that within these structures of domination, they function largely as agencies that prepare the invaders of the future. And these teenage white males that I'm looking at in this picture, they are the invaders of the future.
For sure. You know, Brother Thurman, I don't remember for sure right now which country it was and which leader it was that in the 60s, I think, said that his country was not going to be, they weren't trying to be a tourist attraction. And they were actually wanting to keep tourists away. And the reason that was given was because tourism arrests the development, the cultural development, just as Brother Baruti is saying. It arrests the cultural development of the people. And I know that I have been to a couple of, African countries. And you would imagine that you cannot go away for 10 years and come back and the same vendors are selling the same trinkets and things, you know. And I think it's because if I go and I come back with something. Someone else sees what I have. When they go, they want the same thing. So if the country depends on tourism, what they will do is they will keep producing that rather than allowing the artists to grow and create something else that will take the country forward. Most of us don't think of artists as keepers of the culture or promoters of the culture. And so if they can't see, if they can't produce a more forward-looking piece of art, then the mass of the people don't see a more forward-looking piece of art, and everything stagnates. So I can understand what Brother Burudi is saying, and I wish I could remember who it was. I want to say Kwame Nkrumah, but I'm not for sure.
Yeah, well, that's a very good message that you just brought forward. And when you mentioned the art, historically, a lot of the art of our people had embedded in it some wisdom and messages that was very beneficial to us, and even though off the test, people don't realize that. Next piece I'm going to read, this is from an African perspective, still talking about culture. And it says, culture is coded wisdom. Wisdom that has been accumulated for thousands of years and thousands of years and generations. Some of that wisdom is coded in our ceremonies. It is coded in our values. It is coded in our songs, in our dances, in our plays. And we could just add more to it. And of course, when it comes to the songs, the dances, you know, of course, the drummers and the other instruments are included in there. But the mask, they have a meaning. That's part of that art, but they have a meaning. It's not just a mask. It's got a meaning, and it's got a value. And actually, a lot of the African art, including masks, and not limited to masks, have been energized with a special energy, and that's just some more coded stuff. And that used to be very common that the people would be aware of that, and there was folks that made masks and other objects, and they put a particular energy into it, and the result would be that it would make things happen, and based on how it was programmed to be. And we've got to distinguish between our culture versus the culture of the conquerors and the invaders. And And in spite of all that they have done and they continue to do, that there's way too many of us that still respond to the values, standards, and goals of the invaders. Right. We celebrate them as if it makes them happy to do that. Another invader mentality is recently I saw a picture of a sister over in Africa, you know, in the area of Zambia and Zambezi. And there's this very, very powerful waterfall improperly named by invaders once again. It was named after the Queen of England by the first white man to have seen this waterfall, and they said it was Livingston, but whatever, named it after this European and misnamed it and disgustingly named it Victoria Falls. And the African name was Mosi Oa Tunye, Mosi Oa Tunye, Tunye. So Mosi-Oa-Tunye. And it's disgusting that we would still be accepting that Victoria thing. And Before I move on to another subject, this is also in the news. This is a piece that came out a few days ago. And for a lot of people, it wouldn't mean what it really should mean. And the word, the message is, Nigeria is the country with the third highest consumption rate in this world, as with the third highest dog consumption rate in the world, as per reports. Well, it's saying a lot there that I think as we have been invaded in our mind just on the subject of dogs, even though this is to some degree talking about actually consuming, mm-hmm. eating dogs. But there's some major mm-hmm. problems going on in the world, all over the planet, and certainly with African people, because African people historically up until very, very recently had a totally different relationship with dogs than they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't okay. want to stay on that one, but it's a real serious issue that got us out of our African mind.
Mm-hmm.
And before I move on to the some word about the preparedness lifestyle, is there anything else that you have in mind, Sister Q, you want to share with regard to what's in the news of African family?
I just wanted to go back to the piece you were talking about, the artists, and
yes.
how they create art basically for outsiders, not for their countrymen anymore. And
yes.
that explained to me something that one of my friends had mentioned, that he goes back and forth to Africa quite a bit. And he said he has not been able to find warrior art, you know, art of even a warrior standing still dressed in his
mm-hmm.
in his, you know. And yeah. so the point that you made is an explanation for that. I don't guess tourists are interested in seeing the men of the region where they're visiting as warriors. So they wouldn't buy it, and if an artist is reliant on that to make a living, then he wouldn't create it. And if he doesn't create it, the people don't see themselves growing and developing into that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that shows how important the artists are to the development
yes, yeah.
of the nation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. all of the people in the African villages and nations had value that was
mm-hmm.
used to be, all of it was connected with their culture and their spirituality. When the invaders' mm-hmm. mindset has come in and invade the minds of the people's minds and their life and their culture disappears, and they become more corrupted, more polluted, and out of their African mind.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so it's a responsibility, as the African wisdom says, those who know must teach.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever
for sure.
it takes for us to become free once again and maintain our freedom. And among the things that we must do, is vital mm-hmm. to our survival, is to be thinking in every way that you can, to be living a preparedness lifestyle. And I want to, if I can have success in playing something by KRS-One, and this is a very, very deep message, and it's going to be on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page Sunday, I'm sure of that. But let me Listen carefully as a brother speaks.
Okay.
The master of your reality, if you can understand that. You live in a fantasy, if you can understand that. Bob Marley said something interesting. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, because none of them can stop the time. Stop here. The entire strength of this colonial system, none of them is above nature. When we look at these groups, we are looking at what they are advertising themselves to us as. Mm-hmm. This is a propaganda and perception game. These groups, they are designed to deceive. There's no truth in them. So as long as you know nature, God, the universe, or should I say this, God, universe, nature, that's your gun. G-U-N, God, universe, nature. Mm-hmm. Remember that gun. Put a weapon in your hand. That's the gun you fight back with. You are the master of... if you can understand that.
Did the audio come through clear enough?
Yes, I understood what he was saying.
Was it loud enough?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. He's given a powerful message there that in part is saying the ones that are in power, even with their atomic weapons,
mm-hmm.
there's some level of illusion there in terms of how powerful they are. And as he said in the end of the short video, he said, I'm giving you a weapon, and it's a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the gun is mm-hmm. God, the universe, and nature. It's more powerful mm-hmm. than what the invaders have and what they say that they have and what they say they can do.
Exactly.
And so I think that's, you know, what he expressed is in the direction of the most powerful weapon that we could use, that we can use to protect ourselves, defend ourselves, and to transform energies to achieve what we need to achieve is some, you could call it spiritual, you could call it energetic, but it's using and harnessing the powers that's embedded in the God force, the universe, and nature.
Mm-hmm.
And for the family that's listening, I hope that that it had some value in playing that. And,
I think that's an important thing to understand, because it's part of like the propaganda thing. That they lie about how capable they are, how strong they are, what kind of weapons they have, and we believe that, and we are too afraid to take them on any level. And that doesn't even have to mean like with a weapon of, you know, like what they call a gun. But I have a new word for gun now. I like that. But even what they call a gun, we think that they have greater strength than they actually do. And we won't stand up to them on any level, even if it doesn't involve what we could call firepower, even on a mental thing, as you say, using the forces of the universe or using your mental capacity to lock whatever it is they're trying to do. And we don't think in terms of doing that. And plus we've been taught that all of that is, you know, evil. So we don't want to do anything evil, and we won't even use our inherent powers. I'll say powers.
We've been purposefully led in the wrong direction. And that's why mm-hmm. earlier when I was reading the cultural conquest and that the invaded began to respond to the values, standards, and goals of the invaders. I mean, this is a powerful, real word there. Been going on and still going on because we allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And but we have capabilities and powers that we have capabilities to transform weather and to do healing. And we have more. We've just been transformed to think out of our African mind. And so then, you know, the mass, the art, and what was done with it versus what's being done oftentimes now is different. And like I said earlier, it still falls back on us as a people. And as we want to be free, then we've got to get back into our higher self in all areas of life. And so there again, getting back to the subject about preparedness lifestyle, we got to have a higher thought about survival and make it a lifestyle. And so the people that on this subject of preparedness, and some of them call themselves survivalists, some of them call themselves preppers, they have already been doing it for years, a lot of them, and more of them are getting involved in it and teaching it to their children to be gathering up tools and weapons. Mm-hmm. And when I say weapons, I'm glad that we got to listen to the KRS-One piece that was talking about that gun. He said, I'm handing you a weapon. And it's G-U-N, gun, God, universe, and nature, handing you a weapon. And we got to really take heed of that. And so in that preparedness lifestyle, we've got to get back in touch with the universe, with nature, and with the most high powers, and use it for our protection and our wellness, and to transform whatever is working against us, which we can transform things. You know, so historically, we've been able to transform weather and get it to rain or part the rain, and there's more waiting for us. And so when it comes to the preparedness lifestyle, as I mentioned, tools and weapons, and we've got to be in a mindset of that preparedness lifestyle, being prepared, that we are living in a way that we're preserving our wellness, and so we are in touch with rationing food. You know, it's not something that we would step out into in a survival situation, and we are not mentally even capable of rationing food. We would try to eat up everything that's right there in front of us instead of rationing it so that the others could also eat, not just today, but eat tomorrow in a predictable fashion. We'd know how long the rations would last. But if one or more come and just say, well, I'll get my grub on and try to eat it all up, then being able to calculate how long those rations would last would be enough. It wouldn't work well. And so, but the preparedness lifestyle is not limited to being out in what we call the wilderness, in the woods or in the bush. Because really the wilderness is anywhere that you're in danger, anywhere that you're at risk, including the city streets, it's the wilderness. And so when we learn on a higher level, we would be more receptive and totally really get more committed to living a preparedness lifestyle of wellness where we wouldn't be getting sick, and we would be using some of that gun that TRS talked about to keep ourselves well and to heal ourselves when we need it to. And among the things is that when we are in that lifestyle of survival and preparedness, we would be limited on how often or how, if at all, we would need to be going to any medical person. And if we have a toothache, tune in to what nature provides, and cloves is one of them that will stop a toothache. And that's part of that preparedness lifestyle. And we would be aware of ways that we would treat our mouth to keep it naturally well, and we wouldn't be dependent on the production of probably billions of toothbrushes when our ancestors have always known about chew sticks from various trees. Mm-hmm. And we can use that. And historically, our ancestors that were into, that knew about the chew sticks, they knew that there were certain species of trees that have a natural chemical in it that's anti-cavity that they use to brush their teeth and massage their gums and things like that. And out there in nature, the universe and nature provides plants can actually, and one of them is called knit bone. They can be wrapped around a broken bone and it will, in whatever period of days, but not many weeks, but it will help the bone, and it has historically worked to knit the bone, and it's, the plant is called comfrey. But we need to be aware of that as part of our preparedness lifestyle. We need to be aware that there's many plants out there that you could use immediately if you got a severe burn, a cut, you're bleeding, stings and bug bites and things along that line. And in that survival life preparedness lifestyle, we need to practice everything that we can to stay calm. Stay calm from all of these stresses that's after us every day. And use whatever methods that will help us, including meditation and getting plenty of sleep and things like that, and not staying up night after night watching the television, and the television that watches you while you're laying in bed, dressed or undressed, however. We would have a preparedness lifestyle that we wouldn't be okay with that, you know. If we were in our right mind, we wouldn't have never have a television in our bedroom because there's more and more technologies that's watching us, not just listening to us, but watching us. And we should not be okay with that. We have to have a fit about it, but not be okay about it.
And, but, you know, when you try to tell people about that, they don't believe you, even though which one is it? I think Samsung or Sony, one of them, it was mentioned like on the general news that if they tell you that if you are going to have a conversation that you don't want anybody else to hear, don't have the conversation in front of your television or with your teeth, you know, and the TV does not have to be on. If the red light is on your TV, your TV
it's
is
always
basically on, you know. So disconnect the TV, you know. But again, you tell people that that makes you, you know, paranoid, you're a conspiracy theorist. And again, as you say, they tell us what they're doing. And some of us don't take it from, you know, the ones of us that do the research and try to tell others. If they didn't hear it from the television or the news or whatever, they don't believe us. And I found out that really important stuff like that on the news, and generally they'll say it one time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't repeat in a cycle over and over and over again. They just say it one time. Because they have to let you know what they're doing. So they'll say it, and they'll say it at a time when nobody is listening, and then, you know, their conscience is clear. Spiritually, they fulfill their debt. And if you do all this crazy stuff, it's on you because they told you.
Yeah. Well, so it's on us, and we've got to get back in our right mind, and so now is the time for whatever may be coming. There's some information that suggests that there's going to be a shortage of things that comes in aluminum cans because of a shortage of aluminum. But in any case, we need to stock up on survival foods and wellness foods. And when I say wellness foods, I'm not talking wellness medicine, and I'm not talking about no pharmaceutical medicine. I'm talking about what nature and the universe provides. And we need to start growing food. We can grow food in a small backyard and, of course, bigger parcels of land, and we can grow food in containers, and there's many ways that we can grow food, and we should do it. That it's more nourishing. And there's something out there that has been put out there, and but whatever they put out there, there's another pandemic, you know, coming in 2025. But whatever it does or it doesn't, we have the responsibility every day and every year of our life to be prepared, a preparedness lifestyle. So in this land, African people that lived off of the land and close to the land, if for whatever reason, 2 weeks from now, 4 feet of snow that snowed overnight, the way that they used to live, it wouldn't catch them in a vulnerable position because they had fuel to stay warm, meaning wood, large quantities of wood already stored up by now for the upcoming season. They would have had food dehydrated, dried in a root cellar, canned and smoked and on. And so if 2 weeks from now or tomorrow morning there was 4 feet of snow, they would still have water because they had a well that was dug by hand that never froze up. I never heard of one freezing up, you know, 30 feet down in the ground. And they had food stored up in from variety of ways, so they would still eat tomorrow. They still have water to drink, water to cook with, if that's what they do, and food to eat and stay warm. There was a preparedness lifestyle. And with all of the cruelties that have never stopped coming to us by way of the invaders, we got the responsibility to set the tone and the model for the babies that they would not be so duped as to be okay with the television watching them, be okay with the poisonous food and with the lab-grown meat and things like that. And we've got to be speaking to our people and writing to our people realities. And there's a piece on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page. It's on there now. It's called The Repression of Frankenstein. And it was written by our powerful ancestor, Amos Wilson. And you just have to read it for yourself because I think it would be kind of confusing trying to read it one time on the radio. But it's called The Repression of Frankenstein. We need to have our mind open to that, to what that's about. And along the way, as I mentioned, in that preparedness lifestyle, we've got to keep ourselves sane and calm. And this is a message, and it says, an unhealed person can find offense in pretty much anything someone else does. And I would say anything else someone does or says. But a healed person understands on a higher level. And oftentimes what the unhealed person takes offense to, it has nothing to do with the healed person. But we've got to heal. We've got to help heal our people so that there would not be the unhealed that pretty much on a daily basis takes offense to pretty much anything, as it said, that someone else does or says.
Right.
Because when we learn how to detach and stay calm and detach, a whole bunch of what somebody said is not something to take offense to.
For sure.
So we've got to be able to process that.
No, I was just saying for sure to what you were saying about people taking offense.
Yeah. And Malcolm X said, the mental flexibility of the wise person permits them to keep an open mind and enables them to readjust themselves whenever it becomes necessary for a change. And so it's necessary for a change for us to wake up, take the pillow from our head, to stop eating the get-sick food and the get-sick diet, and be living a preparedness lifestyle. And if that involves, you know, growing food, putting up food, saving food, storing food, burying food, then we need to, whenever it becomes necessary for a change, to be able to readjust.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. But that's some critical thinking, and Malcolm, you know, putting it out there. And what's blowing in the wind in terms of whatever may happen, food shortages, another pandemic, and whatever, we must keep ourselves in every way that we can spiritually open to flow through whatever that might be, whatever may happen in the morning. And we must clean your spaces, your house, your room, your car, your mind, your heart. New things are coming. Make sure you are welcoming them properly. And in the universe and nature, there's new things that may have been there all along. We just weren't aware of that. There's a new awakening coming. And we must be in the mindset that we welcome them properly.
That's a good point.
Part of
I think we keep hearing that we're coming to the end of life on this planet as we know it, and people are afraid of that. However, when you think about it, life as you know it is not something you're happy with anyway. So why be opposed to the end of that?
Well, when we've been separated from our natural mind and universal mind, that's the reason, one of the reasons why. In nature, so you take ants, for example, and that's not the only species we could speak of, but an ant has never in our lives, and probably never ever, if an ant, if I as a child would go and knock over an ant's hill that it had built, or dig in the ground where the ant's nest was, immediately the alert would go out, and it would immediately, there were workers whose purpose, whose job was to gather up the eggs or the babies. And there was others that would escort the queen mother ant. And then there's others that would be coming as warriors to attack the invaders. And if if a rainstorm came tonight and just devastated the ant's hill or nest, whatever you call it, as soon as the rain stops, they go back to rebuilding. They don't have a lot of discussion about, why in the world did it rain so hard? Who made that happen? They don't discuss that. They immediately.
Right.
So it's fitting right in with what Malcolm X said, to keep an open mind that enables them to readjust themselves whenever it becomes necessary for a change. And so if the flood came last night, this morning, don't stand there and fuss and cuss and just run off at the mouth. Get busy to do the repairs and rebuild. That's what the ants do. And that's what a whole bunch of nature's and the universe's beings do.
Yeah.
And we can do the same thing. It's different.
Speaking of ants, when I was in Arizona, there were different the ants there were basically living underground. And before it would start to rain, they would close up the hole. So I could know that it's going to rain because the ants closed up the door to their house. But we are not out in nature like, you know,
like that so we don't get those kinds of messages that you would get just observing.
And when you said we're not out there, so one of the key things is we got to get back into being out there. We were not designed to stay inside every day. We were not designed to sit down and be sedentary every day, day and night. We're not designed to do that. And when we're not out there in nature, so like a sister wrote, we need some camp skills and learn how to make a fire and how to trap and how to build natural shelters. But that's part of being out there. Being out there, as you said, means that now you must, for your survival and for your well-being, to learn how to know that there's many, many plants and the leaves of the plants and the bark of the plants that could be used for many things, including injuries of various types and pain. You know, there's a plant that you can take it and make a medicine that's as strong as morphine. But it's a plant.
Right.
It's out there and it grows all over the planet, as far as I know. And we got to do that, and we've got to. But in the meantime, when we're not out in the woods today or even tomorrow, but even though it would be good for us to go out there, we can cultivate preparedness lifestyle by getting back in touch with nature's food, which brings upon a oneness with nature as well as wellness while you're consuming nature's wellness food. And I'm not talking about manufacturers get sick food. And when we're out there, we would be getting automatically the benefits of sunlight, which sunlight has many, many benefits and healing benefits. It's part of a preparedness lifestyle. That's one of the medicines that we must use, the sunlight. And sunlight, ideally, nature and the universe intended for the sun to shine on our entire body from head to toe, front and back and all in between. And that can be done. Just the people just got to find a way that would ease their conscience, especially with some land, to be able to go somewhere where they could be out with nature, take the shirt off, take the top off, and not look around and see a bunch of perverts or whatever watching them. And so of some of the benefits of the sun, it supports better sleep. So people that have gotten adequate sun today, they tend to sleep a whole lot better. It improves your mental health conditions. It lowers blood pressure. It heals inflammation. It strengthens bones, extends your life expectancy, prevents cancer, lowers risk of metabolic syndrome, increases energy, and it uplifts your mood. That's sunshine. Nature's sunshine. And as a brother in a video talking about suicide and depression in the black community linked to the lack of vitamin D is on the increase. It really kind of blows my mind that there would actually be some of us would be committing, but it is happening. But it's linked to the lack of vitamin D. But when you go out in the sunshine, then you get a conversion of vitamin D. And one of the heavy things that he was saying, and he said, definitely make sure your children are getting out in the sun and keep them hydrated. And he's talking about getting out in the sun, not staying out of the sun, getting out in the sun, just make sure you keep them hydrated. And when we hear that word hydrated, we need to be specific. And hydrated would be what nature gave you, water, not no cola drinks, not no icy something, just water, room temperature, above that. And he said something real heavy. He said, our bodies have the ability to store vitamin D. We should be trying to store as much as we can for the colder months. Now, when he said store it, is he talking about storing it in a can or in a bottle? No. The sun has the ability, when we let it shine on us, that it's kind of like a battery, that we can store up a certain amount. I can't give you specifics right now of how long, but it would be more than a day, more than a week. So,
right, gotcha.
We need to take advantage of that. And even in the winter months, we still can go and let the sun shine on us. It shine, mm-hmm. Let it shine as much as you can bear. You know, you still could have on a short sleeve shirt, you know, on a day, you know. And then when it comes to what you can receive from the sun in terms of your face, almost all went along with a few exceptions. You can put your face and your eyes in the sun. And mm-hmm. something that our people, all of our people need to know about, and it's called sun gazing, G-A-Z-I-N-G. And you need to look it up and study the process of how you do that. And
okay.
So there's more. And one last piece, because I know we were about to run out of time. There are more I wanted to get to. But Brother Mapunga Joshua says, the more raw the food is, the better is the health. The more refined and sweet the food is, the less the quality of life. Eat wisely. The more educated / civilized we are, the more unhealthy we become and the shorter our lifespan is. The more traditional, he's talking about traditional African, we are, the more uncivilized we are, the longer our lifespan and the vitality of life is. And family, pay attention to this word civilized and uncivilized, because all of this civilized stuff that we're supposed to be living should be properly called so-called civilized. And when we were just a part of nature and the universe, there wasn't even no discussion about civilized. Now, there was high culture. And but the more, you know, the way that we have learned it, the more traditional we are within our historical way of living, the more uncivilized we are, the longer our lifespan and the vitality of life is. And so we had a history not long ago where we had elders that were 100 years old, 90 and 100 years old, with all of their teeth. So the longer our lifespan and the vitality of life is. Not long ago, the testosterone in the body was measured in like 600 or 700. And now there's folks that's testing with their testosterone and it's 300 or 200. And we should say, what? Yeah, that is a wild moment. So that's why the words that the brother's saying, the longer our lifespan and the vitality of life is when we are more traditional and the more uncivilized we are. And family,
right.
I would like to go on, but I know what time it is. And Sister Q and the family, we thank you all so much for being with us. And I did want to share some more powerful words concerning the preparedness lifestyle, and also about us lifting us in the cooperative economics model that we already have in place. And what is needed is us lifting us realizing that if we don't take control of the economics of our community, we will forever be at the mercy of others. And when we're at the mercy of others, we're in danger, not just economically. We're just straight up in danger. And we've got the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So gather up and stay focused and keep your gun, God, universe, nature, close to you, close to your heart, close to your spirit. Keep that gun every day, God, universe, nature.
Thank you for that, Brother Thurman. And every time you come on, it becomes more apparent that we need to get our cultural centers together so we don't have to worry about what time it is. We can discussions as long as we want.
That's right.
So thank you for that. And thank everyone that joined us this evening. We would like to invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.